views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub from Empowerment Radio as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges in our day-to-day lives. Find out how you can use the power of your mind to overcome self-sabotaging patterns and build a solid foundation of confidence and self-respect. Learn cutting-edge tools and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. This is the time to empower yourself. Now, here's your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Welcome to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann, and today we have a great show because it's about a very important topic. I think a topic that a lot of you have been maybe feeling lately, a topic that may give you sleepless nights, may make you feel like you have to be glued to the TV and watch anything that's breaking and unfolding minute to minute. I'm talking about the election, the upcoming election, presidential election. We know that this has been occupying us, our mind, our media, our conversation at the water cooler, probably since the beginning of the year, but it's heating up. And for many, what that means is that they're dealing with anxiety, that the election anxiety is going rampant right now. And I would like for you to have some tips, some things that you can do to overcome this anxiety. Because when we are anxious, do we really make the best decisions? Are we really the most clear? Or when we are angry, which is kind of, you could say, the step cousin of the anxiety, when we are angry, do we then really think clearly and use our intellect to make a choice that on the long run will benefit us and ideally all of us? Usually not. So what has happened, as you know, in this election cycle is that just already at the beginning, at the primaries, the tone completely was different than to other elections. There was more hostility. There was more negativity. There were some very unexpected shots under the belt, literally under the belt happening. There were all of a sudden people emerging on both sides that just appeared different. Not the regular politicians that we are used to, but more the rebellious kind, the one that can really get the masses excited and involved. And at the same time, there's also a sense of uneasiness about it. There is a sense of newness and a sense of wonder whether this is really the right direction to go. Now, once the primaries were gone and they had just very surprising results, at least on the Republican side, that emotional dust couldn't settle. It just continued. It continues with two people that are mainly trying ways to slander each other, to discredit each other, to put each other down. And ultimately, by doing that, try to prove to us voters that they are more electable, which I find very interesting, because if I'm imagining going to a job interview and basically speaking mostly about how my other applicants for that job are not as good as I am or couldn't be trusted or are liars and so on, and I wouldn't really talk about why I am great for this job or what I have to offer or what my resume says, well, chances are I wouldn't get that job. Chances are I would stay unemployed. Or if you wanted to hire a contractor and that contractor would come to your home and basically from the moment this person enters, rant on it and just says, well, this is really falling apart. It's going to get worse. This is a horrible job. It's a disgrace, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, this person would say, I'm the only one who can fix it. Would you really trust such a negative person? Would you really feel like, oh yeah, this is the right man for the job? So it is very curious for the observer that the people that are trying to get our votes, the people that are trying to ultimately apply for a job, which we are giving them, that they are not really behaving in a way that you would if you would apply for a job. They are different. And that creates a certain uneasiness. There is a negativity in the air that doesn't really fill any of us with confidence. And that is part of what is going with the anxiety. This is why we are feeling worried and concerned. Now, another reason is that their opinions, Clinton's and Trump's opinions, are so different and so far apart, and in some ways so extreme, that there is just not really a sense of a middle ground. There is not a sense of, well, if one side wins, oh, we're going to be okay. Now, I believe personally that one side is more extreme and more out of the box and in many ways also way more reckless than the other side. But this is not a political show. This is just for us to understand that we are filled with anxiety. And as we are filled with anxiety, we are asked to make a decision that's going to determine the next 4 years of this country. And I believe that the US is still the leader of the free world. So in many ways, this will determine also the course of the world for the next 4 years. So this is a very important decision. And when we have to make an important decision like this, we should stay clear and calm and focused and really know what we are actually choosing between. But right now, with the anxiety and the worries and the concerns just more and more heightened up, we cannot really make that decision. We don't really have the mind space for that. Now, how do we create this anxiety? Now, I always say, how do we create it? Because at the end, we do create our own anxiety. We get triggered, but we can, if we are aware, choose to take the trigger and feel the emotion, or to deflect the trigger, or make other choices to not feel anxious. What are those triggers that make us create anxiety? Well, one of those triggers is certainly the news. And when we are glued to the TV, as I said, when we are watching the breaking news, when we're seeing the hype and everything is just dealt with as if it is a life-changing event, our mind automatically gets freaked out. It automatically feels like, oh my God, we are in a very precarious situation. And because the news sells better, the ratings go up, the advertisement certainly is easier to bring to the customers when they are glued to the news through fear, through stress or anxiety. That is what they're doing. That's what the media are doing. And there's not necessarily any judgment in that. We just have to be aware of everything that we are seeing needs to be taken with a grain of salt. It's certainly also, as I said before, how the discourse between those candidates is and how they are treating each other. We wouldn't be as disrespectful, as condescending, as insulting to someone else that we don't really necessarily know that close in person. But there is an energy of hostility in the air that, again, our mind, especially our subconscious mind, sees as potentially threatening. And that is something we also have to be aware of, that what happens there is not supposed to be a role model for how we are supposed to interact with others. What's just really out there in the political stage is actually, in many ways, to my opinion, a negative example on how people are treating each other, and we should just try to learn from it and ideally do the opposite. Now, today I had invited a very special guest, which is Sister Jenna. Sister Jenna was voted once for one of the most influential people in the US. She is a meditation teacher, an author, inspirational speaker. If you haven't heard about her and her amazing meditation radio show that she has, check her out. She has also created a beautiful initiative, which is called Meditate the Vote, meditatethevote.net. And you can find out more about it as you are looking it up. But the idea about it is simply that through meditation, contemplation, going inside, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're leaning on, that you are connecting more to your own truth, that you are seeing through the clouds, through the smoke that is pretty much blown at you from all different media outlets in the internet, and that you are seeing more clearly what is right for you, what is right for the people you care about, what is right for the environment. So it just allows you through this initiative to get to a place of greater peace, and certainly also a place where when you do make a decision, you will feel good about it. Now, since Sister Jenna unfortunately couldn't come because she had an event in her family that didn't allow her to come, which I'm very sorry about. Thank God I found another amazing, inspirational man, an author, that will talk about his initiative that is also aiming to make us be more the conscious and the calm and the aware voters that we are meant to be. And I'm looking forward to talking with him after the break. Stay tuned. My surprise guest will be there. Are you anxious, worried, or insecure? Hi, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub. I'm the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Join me for my next breakthrough video seminar, which starts on September 10th. This program has helped thousands of people worldwide to overcome their struggles with anxiety, and I'm certain it can also help you. If you're ready to be free again and have a stronger foundation of inner peace and confidence, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
It's that time of the year again. The Woman of Wisdom Fall Harvest Festival is right around the corner. Join us on October 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at North Seattle Community College Conference Center. Admission is free. Festivities include arts and crafts, energy healers, intuitive readers, delicious food, and more. Don't miss this fun-filled event. For more information, visit womanofwisdom.org. That is womanofwisdom.org. And we'll see you there.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. We are talking today about the election anxiety, which is just going around these days. And as I mentioned before the break, we have a very special guest today. And that guest is Dr. David Nickel. He is the author of the acclaimed book, Subtle Activism, The Inner Dimension, Social and Planetary Transformation. He's the co-founder and the director of the Gaia Field Project, and also the co-founder of Be the Peace, one of the world's largest annual global meditation events. Welcome, David. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Friedemann. I'm really happy to be able to be here talking about this today.
Well, I asked you in the break, and I think we both can admit that we are a little nervous about the election ourselves. And what are you doing personally when you feel a little anxious about what's unfolding here?
Yeah, I think firstly, the first point I wanted to make, and it's what I do for myself, is just to acknowledge that it's natural to have a little anxiety, you know, with so much at stake and with what we're seeing. So not to judge it, or, you know, but to you know, see that it's a normal response. And at the same time, to recognize it's not a very good source of motivation, you know, to move forward. And so, for myself, I'm doing a few things. You know, one thing is, from time to time, consciously choosing to take a media diet, because what I found is if I'm tracking the media too closely, it tends to exacerbate that startled response, just because of the way that news media works, I think, a lot of the time. And so a media diet is one thing. And then I also am finding it helpful to really consciously draw from deeper sources of wisdom and inspiration right now, not just tracking, you know, what's happening in the current political cycle, but actually calling forth deeper forces. Like, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, drawing on the great history of this country, ancestors who have fought and lived and died for the ideals of this country, and also from deeper spiritual sources that I feel are in alignment with the evolution of life on Earth, to you know, invoke something deeper as a source of inspiration, but really, really with the recognition that it's time to fight and to wake up, and then it requires a deliberate practice to find that source of energy.
Now, when you say draw on those sources, how do you do this? Through reading or through meditation and listening to lectures? What are your ways of drawing to those sources?
For me, it's mostly through meditation and just through a sort of invocation of those sources, you know, calling them in as a source of guidance and inspiration. It can be a very simple and quick process to just, you know, have the intention to connect with those sources. You know, I normally start my day with meditation, and you know, that can be a time to draw that in, just to sort of set the rudder for the day.
And you, in with the Gaia Field Project, you created a forum that is about tapping into those deeper sources, and also using meditation as a way to correct me if I'm wrong, just to somehow positively affect the mass consciousness. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our work at the Gaiaville Project is all about what we call subtle activism. And subtle activism is, I define it as the use of consciousness-based practices like meditation and prayer for collective transformation, you know, as opposed to using it just for personal transformation. And so, you know, we've been, you know, that's what my book is about and so our work is about. And specifically this year, we have a campaign, which we call the Wise USA Campaign, where the intention is to uplift the hearts and minds of the American people to create a to engage thousands of people so that we can, in a sense, be a channel that invites in divine grace to come into the consciousness of America to uplift the whole country. And so we have, you know, people can go to wiseusa.net and sign up to be part of it. We have public meditations on the new moon and the full moon. And upcoming on October 2nd, we're actually launching a campaign we call the Liberty Bell Minute. Now, if we just tell a little bit of the backstory there, in World War II, there was a project that came to be known as the Big Ben Minute. And what happened was at 9 o'clock every day on BBC Radio, they would play the chimes of Big Ben 9 times. Just before the reading of the news. And this project was to invite people all around the British Commonwealth to observe a minute of silence during the chiming of Big Ben at that time, specifically to support, to strengthen the resolve of the Allied war effort. And they estimate that 5 million people per day participated in that practice. And it was endorsed by Winston Churchill and the King of England and all the elite, really, of English culture. So it was a very inspirational, high-level, subtle activism campaign. And so inspired by that, we're launching what we call the Liberty Bell Minute. So starting October 2nd, people can sign up to get a free email or text reminder that will come just before 9 p.m. Eastern. And it will contain a link to a short one-minute meditation that features the chiming of the Liberty Bell. And the invitation is to join with thousands of people in this month leading up to the election, just for a minute of silence every day. And we're calling in, you know, wisdom, joy, and compassion into the field. It's not it's a transpartisan campaign, but we can all join together in calling forth, you know, wisdom and joy and compassion.
Now, can you be a Republican to join?
Yes, it's like I say, it's a transpartisan campaign, and all of subtle activism really is like connecting at a deeper level than our surface differences. And, you know, we often find in subtle activism practice that the ideas that we go into the practice with, our fixed ideas, tend to sort of be, when we contact that deeper source of wisdom, we can often be surprised at what emerges. And in that deeper place, the unification of all is more apparent. And so, you know, we're joining together on a more fundamental level, more human level, and more spiritual level, and connecting with that depth of wisdom that we all share, that source of wisdom. So it's truly a transpartisan approach.
And so do you have already, I believe you have done a similar approach in the previous elections, and what were your findings? Because part of the Gaiaville Project is also research, doing research about that consciousness that you're creating through those communal meditations and times together of focused intention.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, the truth is it's not an easy thing to get a lot of hard quantitative data around when you bring people together for this intention in this practice. There have been, there has been a lot of research that's been done, which I've looked into a lot when I wrote my book, mostly by the TM folks in their studies of what they call the Maharishi effect, and they measure statistics about crime rates and things like that when you have large groups of meditators, and they consistently show improvements in those indicators. We haven't really had the resources to conduct those sorts of studies, but a lot of the time it mostly comes down to paying attention, really, to looking for things that manifest in the world that seem very obviously in alignment with one's intention. One example was we did this subtle activism campaign in relation to the Salish Sea area off the northwest coast of America near Seattle. And the key animal of that region that's a very key symbol of that bioregion is the orca, the killer whale. Mm-hmm. And in the 4 years leading up to the practice that we did, the series of practices that we did, there was concern because there had been no sightings of new orcas being born. And so, and then in the year since we did the practice, it's like widely reported that there were 8 new orcas born in that region.
Wow.
And so you look to things like that. You know, we came in with a certain intention, and then you see the result that matches, you know, very precisely the intention you brought. And then, you know, I never like to claim definitively that we were the cause of that, but nonetheless, that's the sort of thing that we pay attention to.
And do you believe that in order for such an effect to happen, there needs to be a certain number of people that are having the same attention at the same time? Mm-hmm. Or how powerful are we as individuals?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that there is a certain threshold, which partly is probably quantitative in terms of the number of people, but also qualitative in terms of how coherent is that field? How deep is that field? How sincere is the practice? The Maharishi, the TM people, their formula is the square root of 1% of any given population. That's what they think is the threshold. That's what their experiments, look at. So what that means is, if you look at the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, there's about 7 million people, and the square root of 1% of that population is about 265 people, I believe. I worked it out once. So from their formula, you would need that many people together in one place in a deeply coherent field to see effects. So, I think there is a certain threshold. It's possible that certain individuals who are extremely evolved and, highly adept may have an outsized effect. I'm convinced myself that it's the power of the group that is at the leading edge of evolution today.
Well, I find it very inspiring and really also some amazing way for us to get out of this anxiety rut, to know that there is something we can actually do. Because as we all know, the sense of powerlessness is just fuel to the anxiety. And so how can people reach you? How can people get involved?
Yeah, so they can go to wiseusa.net to sign up for the Wise USA campaign, and they'll get on our list to be notified about the public calls we have about the Liberty Bell Minute. They can also get on our general mailing list at gaiafield.net, which is beyond just the Wives USA campaign. We do a lot of other things as well at gaiafield.net. And I will just say, it is, I think, one of the most significant aspects of what we do is what you're saying, providing a place for people to connect with others, for us together to contact that source of wisdom and healing and love. And out of that place, very, very commonly, people contact a source of renewed hope, where they, are coming from source in community with others, and feeling like we're making a meaningful contribution. That can be a very healthy thing to do at the moment.
Well, I completely agree. And I think you do give people a place to find some, not only hope, but also some peace, and realize it's not about just following the impulses, or like you said, to react, but just quieten the mind and tapping into something that's wiser and more knowledgeable inside, that can then also, through intention, inspire us to take those next steps. So thank you so much for providing this, and thank you so much for sharing this with all of us. And I hope that you have a lot of people from the show sign up for wiseusa.net. And hopefully we can talk again in the future. I know that you have to go to a class, so definitely want to let you go. But I appreciate the time that you spent with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Friedman. Thank you for having me. Okay. Bye for now.
Take good care. Bye. Well, bye, this bye. Was David Nickel of the Gaia Field Project, or sign up for wiseusa.net. And the beauty about something like that, or also, as I mentioned before, Sister Jenna's Meditate the Vote initiative, is A, that we are doing something. We can get involved, and involved in a positive, in an uplifting, in a deeper way that really makes a difference on a consciousness level. But also, you are realizing that you're not alone. There are just other people out there that are also feeling confused or anxious or worried. And this is certainly a wonderful way to connect and to be proactive in your efforts to make a difference, but to make a difference from the inside out, and not chasing after that what your emotions in the moment may be telling you. And for that, we have a question. Tim writes, I'm confused about how to vote this time. Should I listen to my gut, or should I listen to my head? And I can imagine that some of you feel exactly the same way, because there are these emotional impulses that are just overriding our rational thinking. And in general, I have to say, we are better if we are following our intuition, our emotions, our heart. But we have to distinguish between what emotions are trying to take the lead. I mean, there are emotions that are based on frustration, on anger, on fear, on survival. These are also emotions that then will push us more to make decisions based on those survival ideas. So there will be not emotions that are necessarily considering the well-being of others, or they don't necessarily consider values like compassion or tolerance or acceptance. And therefore, are they really the right emotions to make long-term decisions with? And then there are other emotions that are more emotions about feeling that this is right, that there is an alignment, that there is a sense when you make that decision that feels almost like an accomplishment. It feels just like a relief, a sense of, yes, I did the right thing. I can live with that. And so if that's an emotion that gets evoked when you're thinking about a choice, then I would rather go with that emotion, even though it may be something where you feel still not intellectually quite as clear. There is this more long-term, positive, peaceful, and creative emotion, which is the opposite of the survival emotions that can certainly help you in your decision-making process. So thank you for asking this question. Now, we talk about election anxiety, and David already brought up some points about when you feel anxiety, don't beat yourself up. Don't feel that, I shouldn't feel this way. I'm, you know, a wimp. I should be strong. I should be excited. What's the matter with me? I should be cool-headed right now. No, anxiety is a normal reaction. And as I mentioned before, it just gets triggered over and over again. And the intensity of the energy is certainly something that brings that anxiety up. So have compassion, have understanding. And by doing so, which a lot of people don't understand, you are giving your own mind a break. Because when you're angry at yourself and frustrated and bash at yourself, your mind actually sees this as an attack, and it's bracing itself just to protect itself from that insult and gets more anxious. So this is a very draining and energy depleting cycle that we are creating when we are judging ourselves for our emotions. So step away, have compassion, and then also commit to do something about it. And so what you can do, for example, is, as David already mentioned, stay away from that news binge, which we naturally do. There is a misconception about that the more information we have, the calmer we will feel. And studies showed about information overload that our mind is just able to compute only a limited amount of information. And just like an older computer, it just gets more into a state of frozenness or slowing down. And that sensation of overwhelm, of confusion about everything that it gets as an input, creates then also a sense of anxiety. So not just sitting all the time at the news and watching until you go to bed the latest breaking events, just take 50% down of your screen time. That certainly would be helpful, because as another research said, that negative news especially create in the mind the idea of catastrophizing and something bad's going to happen. So there is not a lot of positive news out there at the moment. So just really take a step away from it and give yourself a smaller dosage of that. And another, I believe, important step to overcome this anxiety is staying away from people that are negative, people that are more appearing judgmental, or maybe there is an uncle who always rants on and gets really angry and frustrated and red in his face when he talks about the state of the nation, or maybe there is a friend who gets really anxious and she feels the sky will be falling if the candidate that she chooses doesn't win. And if you feel the intensity of those people, you feel automatically also more anxious. Now, I believe there is the subconscious mind that absorbs energies and emotions, and that's part of the reason why we feel anxious around people that are fueled by their own stress and worries or also frustration. But then, of course, there is also that scientific work that showed that this is almost contagious when we are anxious. And it's still not really clear why anxiety can be contagious, why it can spread like a virus. But one hypothesis is that has found also some evidence for it, that fear smells. That when we are afraid, we are creating and exuding certain pheromones, certain chemicals on our skin that other people can smell. And when the mind detects that subconsciously, that's not a very strong smell that we are consciously aware of. When the mind detects this subconsciously, it sees us as a potential threat. And that threat is then responded to with more fear and more anxiety inside of you. And you are creating then naturally also these pheromones that then go over to that next person that is next to you. And so it just goes round and round. So staying away from people that are feeding on that intensity and that are in a place of just almost like drama of the moment and maybe enjoying it. There is something I have talked about before, and I will certainly do again, which is the addiction to anxiety that some people have. But if you really suffer with that emotion, just limiting your exposure to those forums or to those people that are anxious or intense right now, that's certainly a good idea. Now, the third thing that I would like to suggest when you're dealing with election anxiety is to take action. And what that can mean is to get involved, like we talked about with David or Sister Jenna, but it can also mean that you take action by taking your power back, deciding that you don't want to be the victim of that fear and anxiety mongering around you, that you don't want to be on that ride of that anxiety, and that you really want to take care of your own emotions. So writing, for example, about your thoughts and your concerns can be very helpful. Doing something like a simple breathing meditation or a guided meditation can be very useful. A friend of mine is anxious right now about the election. She asked me, is there anything you can do? And so I sent her the self-hypnosis CD, Be Free, that is available on my website, The Fear and Anxiety Solution. And that's something that immediately calmed her down. Just taking your mind on a different track, away from that, just focusing on that one thing that seems to be so difficult or so out of control, and bringing it into a much gentler and more harmonious place. A guided meditation can certainly do that for you. Well, when we come back after the break, we'll start to talk about other things that are helpful for you right now to get out of this election anxiety cycle. So stay tuned. Are you anxious, worried, or insecure? Hi, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub. I'm the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Join me for my next breakthrough video seminar, which starts on September 10th. This program has helped thousands of people worldwide to overcome their struggles with anxiety, and I'm certain it can also help you. If you're ready to be free again and have a stronger foundation of inner peace and confidence, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. As technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, well-being.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedemann Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. We talk about election anxiety today, and with all this excitement, I completely forgot to mention the phone number for callers to call in, which is 888-418-6890. Again, 888-418-6890, or you can also ask questions on the chat box, which obviously some of you already know, but it is, if you have any questions, still an opportunity to talk about it. If you have any election anxiety and you found a way to ease your mind, hey, please share it with us. We certainly all can use ideas on how to go through these next few weeks. It's only a few weeks left, and certainly also the months after that, with a greater sense of ease and peace. So feel free to call in and share what's going on with you, how you're dealing with the anxiety, and also if you need some support. Now, one of those important aspects of anxiety, as I mentioned before, is that it becomes almost like a clutter in our mind. It's the chatter that just keeps on going. It's that voice that says, what if, and like Sonia, for example, wrote, I'm terrified that Donald Trump will win the election, and I'm sure many of us are. Everything about him seems just wrong. What can I do to not freak myself out? Now, I know that others are just exactly of the opposite opinion, but I think when we do have this sense of one person is potentially making or breaking our future, we're giving this person way too much power. And when I discussed that with a friend, he pointed out to me that there is also this trust in the Constitution. There is a trust in the checks and balances. There is a trust in that what these forefathers of the or the founding fathers were creating, so that there wasn't one of those executives too powerful, and that there was a way to keep it all in balance. And I think this is something we can also believe in, that this is a country that has been going through all different kinds of presidents and all different kinds of ups and downs. And so it will also, no matter what the outcome be, certainly be able to go through that as well. Now, we have a caller on the line, which is Anne. Anne, welcome to the Empowerment Radio Show.
Thank you.
What can I do for
Hello?
You? Yes. What can I do for
me?
You? I can hear you. Yes.
Thank you so much. I used to suffer from agoraphobia, and I have somehow found my way through that. And for several years, I was fine. I felt well, and I felt like I could get around, and I could drive on freeways again. And I was driving myself from Arlington to Seattle, and it was okay. Felt a little uneasy, but I could do it. But for some reason, now it seems as though I've reverted back to being very anxious and very scared to drive very far away from home, and I just can't seem to find my way back to wellness.
Mm-hmm. And did that start with what's going on in the news and the election coming up? Is your mind going in that direction?
No, not at all. This all started a couple of years ago. I just I noticed little by little it was all coming back again. The one thing that I have noticed is that my husband began to really suffer a lot. And so I'm around his anxiety every day now, and I almost feel like I'm taking on that energy.
And he is anxious about the political situation.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
He's anxious about the election right now. So that's what drives his anxiety right now?
My husband?
Yes, yes. It sounded to me that you're saying right now...
Go ahead.
No, it sounded to me that this may be the topic, but it doesn't matter. I mean, no matter what your husband is afraid of or what drives his anxiety, you're absolutely right. As I mentioned before, there is a way our subconscious is detecting and entraining and absorbing to what other people are feeling, especially the people that are close to us. And so it's important for you. Obviously, you cannot send your husband on a retreat and get away from him. You have to find a way to discern between his emotions and your emotions. And one of the things that I suggest to my clients is just to always ask yourself the simple question, am I feeling my own feelings or am I feeling his feelings? Is there anything right now that's going on in my mind that may have been a thought or a topic or, as I said, a what if that may have triggered this emotion that may be right now almost like the subtitle of the emotion? Or is there just this feeling of anxiety without really knowing where it comes from? And when you watch yourself and you watch the correlation between how much time you spend with your husband and whether that's peaking the anxiety, or you can also watch yourself in regards to when you're on your own, if you're feeling more calm and relaxed. Now, that's one thing where you feel in direct proximity, you have this this sense of almost like a tuning fork going into the vibration, into the emotion of someone else next to you. Now, the other thing that may be going on in your mind is that potentially your husband used to be more the calm center for you, or the rock, or the person you could lean on. And then seeing your husband more struggling may also bring up more anxiety inside of you, because it may make you feel more insecure, unsafe because of it. And that's just something you can also observe. Is this for you a call to find out that, no, I need to find my own strength and resources and rely on myself so that I can help my husband to go through this anxiety rather than feeling I'm lacking his support that I used to have? I mean, I don't know your story, but that can be also something for you to do. Now, when you say you went through it and you overcame your anxiety, did you do certain things? Did you have certain routines that really were helpful, but then somehow you're not doing them anymore?
I think so. I think that I mean, first of all, I just finally got really mad. I remember getting just angry. How could I allow my life to just be wasted like this? And why am I succumbing to this, all these fearful thoughts when... What's the reality? Am I really in danger? No, I wasn't really in danger. I was perceiving that I was in danger, you know? So I had to get mad. And when I got mad, then I just started deliberately pushing through it. If I felt fearful to leave the house, then I deliberately put my shoes on and stepped outside of my front door and onto my porch. And then the next time I stepped outside and down onto the sidewalk, and then, you know, halfway up the block, and then on the other side of the block, and then around the block, and then...
Right.
And so I just kept forcing myself to push through. And lo and behold, the more I pushed through, the less fearful I was. And so, and then like driving, I used to be scared to death to drive on a freeway, fearful that if there were some sort of accident, I would be trapped. So I always had to know where all the exits were and that sort of thing. And then I actually overcame that. And I was able, like I said, able to drive to Seattle and back. And it was actually a beautiful drive. I enjoyed the drive. Now I'm right back to not being able to get there. It scares me to death to think that I have to actually go do that.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. You know, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but what I can suggest to you is to look into my book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, because the pushing through is really helpful, but there are limitations to the pushing through because you're not quite addressing where the anxiety comes from and you're not really creating that confidence foundation that the anxiety needs to lean on to. So read the book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution. Reach out if you have any question. You can just go to thefearandanxietysolution.com. And thank you so much for sharing. And hopefully you can call in the future as well. So thank you to all the listeners to Empowerment Radio. Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but there will be another show in 2 weeks. And I'm looking forward to it. Until then, stay empowered, stay centered, and make sure just to always try to be the best version of yourself for yourself and for others. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Empowerment Radio with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Join Dr. Friedemann the first and third Wednesday each month at 11 a.m. Pacific as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges of our daily lives. Discover how you can use the power of your mind to overcome stress, anxiety, and overwhelm and create a solid foundation of confidence and self-esteem. Learn cutting-edge tools so that you can approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. To learn more about what Dr. Schaub can do for you, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.